Okay, Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph 99a. Shtei Guzuz Taraos. Two balconies. The situation was, pass one from the other. Is it similar to the wagons of the Beis HaMikdash? So, Amar Rav, Mishum Rabbi Chiya, Agalos Tachteinu B'nei Mitzdei Mishus HaRav. The wagons underneath the side, they're all around them is considered Rishus HaRav. We've talked about that a little bit on Friday. Ben Agol, Agol, Kamal Orach Agol. The space in between each of the wagons was the size of a wagon. V'cham Orach Agol, how much is the wide of the wagon? Chamish Amos, it's 5 cubits. Lamali, Ba'arba Opagasagi. They could have just done 4.5, as we spoke about on Thursday, or Friday also. The distance of the beams that would be needed inside is in order just to fit all the beams, which could have been done with 4.5. So the Gemara says, Ki echdo lidachu krashim. They don't want to, fit them in exactly, because then it's going to mess up the boards, or it's going to mess up the wagon. So either way, they just give a little extra space. Amar Rav, Atzid agal kumor achav agala. The side of the agala is the amount of the thickness of the Tzidagal, meaning the height of the wagon on the side of it is the amount of the width of the end of the agala. So what does that mean? Meaning it would be basically squared if you're looking straight on at it. The kamarocha agala shte amos umechz 2.5 lamali ba amsa pagosagi, that the beams themselves only stretch up a cubit and a half. Why would you need 2.5? So kiyechdol lidadu karashim, they don't want them to. Be up in the airspace and then maybe tip over or anything like that. It'll be unstable. Elo de kaim olam derech shesarav sheish esrei ama anan de garmina le mishkan de mishkan chamisra ave. So wait a second. Don't we learn that it's 16 amos for a rishis sarabim? So why is that the case when it comes to the mishkan? The actual space needed to bring the agalos was 15 amos, right? 5, space of 5, and then another 5 for the agala. So the Gemara says, no, amsa yisirsa yitira havi dehava kai ben levi. They needed a little space on the side for the levi to walk. When they would fall off, the levi would go and catch it before it falls. The Mishnah says, chol yasabor v'sel, she'im gavon asar rachman arba anot omen anot sinal gaban chai pachos mikain pater. The Mishnah says when it comes to the bank surrounding a pit, so a little has a little height to it, so you're sort of making a little bit of a wall over there. So the Gemara says that with that side sort of pitch above the hole, above the ground level, so that counts towards the 10 tefachim deep of the pit to make it into its own rishus. Verachman arba has to be at least 4 tefachim wide, I guess the diameter. Hanotu mehem hanosin agamon chayav pachas mekain pater. These are considered like a private domain, and therefore, if you're doing something from it to outside or outside to it, so that would be considered chayav, just like any other rishus hayach. Salam alemisel chulia sabor v'hasela. Listen, yabor v'hasela. What's with the chulia? So, Masailel Rabbi Yochanan Damri, why do you have to talk about that little bank at the top? So, Masailel Rabbi Yochanan Damri, Rabbi Yochanan Bor v'chulia mistarf and lasar. You can say that connects to make it 10. You don't just use it up to the ground level, but also the sides that help make the 10. Borsh rishus rabba mukasar v'chavar abba, the hole which is 10 deep, and 4 wide, you cannot take water out of it on Shabbos. Unless you made a mechitza around it, unless you made a wall around it that made it into a shesayachid, around the general surrounding area, not just around the pit. And you can't drink from it unless you're actually inside of the pit, so that it's not like you're going from one rishus to another. And the pit and its top bank is going to also combined for the 10, the measurement of 10, as I said before. So, let's say you had some kind of column, but it was a short column, and it was exactly 10, and it was exactly 4 wide. So if you threw something and it fell on that thing, think of like maybe a fire hydrant or something like that. So mahu, so me amrina and harei. Well, fire hydrant wouldn't be; it might not be wide enough. But let's say it's a little bit wider. So me amrina, do we say harei akira b'iser, harei hanacha b'iser? When you threw it, it was a problem, and when it landed, it was a problem. Odil makevim divimakom b'torah kasiyalo. Maybe because when it's above in order to actually throw it on top of that little column, it has to have exited the 10 tefachim high above the ground, in which case, as we saw before, at least according to the Rabbanan, it's like it's considered in a makom pator. It's above the Rishis HaRabim, not in the Rishis HaRabim, in which case maybe it wouldn't be a full-fledged chiyuv of going from a private to a public, because in the middle it went through this no-go zone or a non-Rishis zone. So the Gemara says, Kevin the makom pator kas yolo. Amar Aleim Asnisin. It's our Mishnah that we said before about the person who puts an object on top of a big rock, right? With like we said, the Bor Usela, right? We focus more about a pit, but the same thing is true about a rock, which is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide. So here it's saying, so this is a Mishnah already. What do you mean? If you threw it onto that rock, then it's a problem. They both said it's from our Mishnah of the rock and the pit. Reb Mordechai said to them, you're all spewing the same spit, meaning none of you are saying anything different. Apparently he wasn't comfortable with that answer. Amrulei v'ad lo tispra, do you not agree? It says that if you take it from it or you put it onto it, so it's chayiv. So amrulei dilma masnitzin machat, maybe we're talking about a needle which does not really go above the 10 tefachim, and therefore it would be, that's why it's chayiv. But if it would go above the 10 tefachim, then maybe it would be pater, and that's my question. So the Gemara says, machat nami yefshal lo madal porta medalia porta. If, I mean, a needle still has some width to it, so it has to be. So no, the islay morsha, that really it has some kind of protrusion that it fell onto that, and it's not above the 10 tefachim. Inami deram becharitza. Maybe there's a groove underneath it inside of the, not that there's something hanging out of it, but there's like a little crevice inside of that column which it fell into, and therefore maybe it never actually went above 10 tefachim, which is a big ukimt in the Mishnah, but that's how he says maybe that you can understand the Mishnah, and therefore that wouldn't necessarily be that halacha. So Amar Rav Miasha bar Rabbi Yochanan, Kosel Rishas Ram Gavos, Arvein Arach Vavaram, Lekav Acharon Lesvasa Rishas Hayachid, Vizarek Vinach Agab of Mahu. So let's say you have a wall in Rishas Rabim that it's 10 high, but it's not 4 wide, but it is surrounded by a karmelus, in which case it would be asur midrabanan to throw it on, so throw something from outside of it onto it. And then you created the karmelus, you made it into your living space, which therefore made it into a rishis hayachid. And then you threw something and it fell onto that thing. So is that considered a problem? Meaning, mi amrinu came into ein rachav arba makom pator. Who do we say that it's a makom pator, and therefore you're going from a karmelus into a nothing area, in which case it's okay. Odil makem daso rishas yach. Or maybe you're going to say that once you made that enclosure from a karmelus into rishas yachid, even though subjectively you made it so, maybe the outsider it wouldn't be the same thing. Kamad demilia damya. Maybe it's like considered a rishas yachid. Maybe it's considered like a rishas yachid, and therefore it's chayiv, because it's inside of rishas yachid. Sounds like a somewhat of a strange question. The Gemara says here, Amar ulu kav chomel acherim also mechitza la'atzma lo kol shekin. If for everybody else it's considered rishas yachid, so for him himself it's not considered that. Of course it is. Eitzmar nami amar bechia bar ashi, and therefore what? It should be considered a rishas yachid, and therefore you'd be chayiv. Itzmar nami amar bechia bar ashi amar rav v'chein amar b'yitzchak amar b'yachon kol sav rishas rav and gavo asar ve'inu rachav arba mukav v'charmelus v'sav rishas yachid v'zorik v'nach agav v'chayev l'achem bosem v'chitz v'atzma l'kol shigen. Basically saying the same exact thing. If you had this kind of column in the middle of rishas yachid, of course the whole thing is going to be considered rishas yachid, because that thing is not considered makom pator unless it has the significant exceptional qualities that it needs to have to be its own rishas. So by Rabbi Yochanan bar Tishav Arkam Yemenei Chol Yadishlim Nasar Mahu. Let's say you have a pit which is 10 tefachim deep, and then you take the last piece out to make it. No, sorry, it's 9 tefachim deep, and you take the last piece out that makes it 10 tefachim deep. So then, what's the question? Akiras chefetz vasias mechitza b'hadi adadikasu. When you then take it out, you're creating a 10, and then you're taking something out of it. In that same motion, you're making a 10 and going from a rishus, therefore a rishus ayachet into rishus rabim. When you throw the clump of dirt out. So therefore, is it considered mechayev? Therefore, it's going to be aser. Olo mechayev, or maybe not, because when you started, it was only a 9 deep pit. When you picked up that piece of dirt, v'imtim sulamer came to lo have mechitzas or mekar lo mechayev. And if you're going to say that, maybe it wouldn't be considered chayev because originally it didn't have 10. because you hadn't yet taken that piece out. So bor sha'asar v'nasal chuli miata mahu. Let's say it was 10, and then you added dirt to it. So is that the same thing or not? Hanachas chedes v'silu v'chitz v'hadei adar kasu mechayev lo mechayev. Because maybe in that situation you would say the same thing backwards, but that at the end, at the beginning, it was still chayev, but at the end maybe it wouldn't be chayev because you no longer have 10. So tif shalemi today, maybe you could learn from the Mishnah. It's not hazarik arba amos bakosol amal me'asar tefachim zarek ba'avir. If you throw it above 10 tefachim, so then it's like you're throwing it into the air. Lamat me'asar zarek ba'aretz, and you're throwing it onto the ground. Zarek ba'aretz arba amos chayev, and someone who throws it on four, someone who throws it four amos in general in Rishis Rav is chayev. Va'avinu ba'v'halo nach. How could you say that? It didn't rest at all. And Rabbi Yochanan says it's because this is tomorrow's daf, by the way, but it's because you talk about like a sticky or fat piece of figs, and therefore it sticks and doesn't bounce back. And therefore it is nach. It is situated and stable there. Wait a second. When you throw it exactly four amos and it hits a wall, so then the place that it hits is not yet crossing the four amos threshold. It might be hitting the wall, which is four amos, but it itself has some girth to it, in which case it is still within the four amos itself. So it must be rather hasam levatale hacham levat. So it must be that will be chayiv, even though it's not yet reaching that four amma mark. It's still considered chayiv because it's connected to the four amma mark. So the Gemara says no hasam levatale hacham levatale. In the case of the fig hitting the wall, so it's true it doesn't hit the four amma mark, and therefore maybe you would think it doesn't need to fully completely get that four amma mark yet. But in this case. In this case, you're actually creating it or ruining it based on the piece of dirt that you're picking up from the pit or adding to the pit, in which case it's a very different situation because you're literally creating the measurement. You're not just hitting the end of the measurement. So, you threw like a board and it landed on top of like a stake, which is not yet wide enough to be considered its own makom pator, but now you put the square on it, so then it would be. So, you're going to tell me, is this the same thing as creating the measurement at the same time that you might be chayav the measurement? This is exactly the same thing as Rabbi Yochanan. We just talked about this. Now the situation of Rava is when you threw the plank and there was something on top of it. So maybe when you threw them together, it would be considered the same thing as Rabbi Yochanan's case. So maybe it's like you put the board down first and then you put the thing on top of it. Would that be considered two separate activities? In which case you'd be chayav. So teku, we're going to leave that for another time. Okay, we'll pick up with the Rava Mirza Hashem tomorrow morning, 9:00.